sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above.
A sign from above.
Hello, everyone. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome back to the second voyage of A Wing and a Prayer. And we have a new member of the trio, which would no longer be a trio. What do we call that, Jeff Weiss, where we have four? A quadet?
I think the final four is
the final four. I don't think so. Jacob Wingbach joining us from Mullet, Nebraska. Luke Tibor, but Pastor Jeff Weiss, if you would, as we do every time, start this endeavor with a prayer. Would you ask a blessing, please?
I would love to. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you once again for our ability to freely assemble. We give you all the praise and glory already on what you're going to do in the midst of these men. We ask that they become less and you become more, that you have your way in us. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You made me think about that, Jeff, during that blessing, which I really appreciate, that these men, we have a Jacob, we have a Luke, a Trent, and a Jeff. Seems as though we need a Mary. You don't know where to go with that or what?
Hey, listen, recruiting's part of every game. So, hey, that's up. You got it.
Yeah. Well, we're just going to let God work his magic, because that's how Jacob got here. He made the mistake of commenting on last week's, or he made the good fortune. Jacob Wingbach, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you wanted to be with us.
Well, I think it's a good conversation to have, I think, discussing the Bible and specifically salvation through Jesus Christ is incredibly important in today's times. You know, a lot of people are putting out a lot of effort today to talk about a lot of things that they're waking up to. And one of the things I don't hear is people waking up to the power of salvation and the power of the Bible. And if we think we're going to do anything anywhere, if we don't have that first, we're sorely mistaken. So anytime I can add to that discussion, hopefully not detract from it, and bring people a fresh perspective as far as someone who got saved a few years ago, I'm happy to do so.
In case you're just joining us and missed our maiden voyage last week, our intent is not to preach to anyone here. Our intent is to encourage and hopefully inspire individuals to develop more Bible studies in home, in communities, and nothing anti-church, but there may be another way to continue to express our faith and grow in that. And guys, I want to share my Easter morning testimony, if you want to call it that, Jeff, because on Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, I just woke up at 3:14. I'm not sure what woke me up, but I looked at the clock and it said 3:14. And all of a sudden in my head popped Psalms. I don't know if I was thinking of Psalms 23 or what it was, but then I went and looked up what exactly, why did Psalms 3:14, as the time was on the clock, look at me on Easter morning? And with your permission, I'd like to read to you Psalms 3, 1 through 8, in fact. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. And that's perfect. I should never do this on a phone. I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear though tens of thousands assail on me every side. Arise, Lord. Deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. Jeff, that's divine intervention. I mean, I look at the clock and I see 3:14. I go look up Psalms 3:14 and look what I find.
Hmm. Well, you know, that is to me what is the essence of the Word of God. I believe that the Bible is the infallible, God-breathed Word, and it has met me in that way so many times. But I wanted to welcome Jacob myself and say that he already hit what I hope that we're able to do through a wing and a prayer, and that's to have everyone realize that we've all got a story. That we've all got a story. I like to call it a Genesis story. Call it whatever you want. But there was a trigger word for me in Jacob's opening, and that was, I've only been saved a few years. And you know, my life, I'm 60, and I was saved 16 years ago. And so I spent 44 years searching. And so to me, absorbing what we're trying to do here is all about your story. Who was I before? And I'd love Jacob to tell us just whatever he feels comfortable about, you know, who I was before, how life kind of worked that way, how I met Christ, when I did, and now these last few years, how are things differently? Because that is what is indisputable. You can argue theology and scripture all you want, but your own story is so beautiful. You can break down walls and talk to anybody by just saying, hey, let me just tell you what happened to me, right? And so if you didn't mind, Jacob, what, how would you describe that in your, you know, short version?
Sure. Well, I was raised Catholic, and you know, I won't go into anything positive or negative about that, but that was just my perspective. And my upbringing in that faith wasn't much to do with necessarily reading the actual Bible, actually understanding the words. It had more to do with the processes and the programs and the you know, the sacraments and what was taught at church. Very little actually going into the Bible. Anyway, I backslid, I guess you would say would be a biblical term, and just kind of fell away from any kind of religion. I saw a lot of hypocrisy in it, just like you see in the world. I went out and accomplished a lot of worldly things. A lot of things that at one time I would have been very proud of to tell you about, and tell you about all my accomplishments and all the wonderful things I did and how I had distinguished myself from my peers and how much money I made and how big my house was and my cars. And what's changed is that the whole point, as I understand the Bible, you know, it's to tell you God's word, but also he's telling you his story for you, because we all have a part in that story and we're not told that. And it's really interesting to me as I read the Bible and as you read the New Testament, you know, as the Gentiles are led into the vine, we become part of God's promise. And that's not religious. That's just reading the New Testament, regardless of what version you read. It says the same thing with respect to that. But part of that is the Lord wants a repentant heart from you. And see, I was doing pretty well in the world on my own. You know, like I told you, I'd done, you know, me. I'd done really good with my brain that the Lord gave me and with the body that the Lord had gave me, and had myself a family, was a prospective small business owner, had a small business, was making that American dream work. And then little, God has a way of bringing you to your knees. And all of that was essentially in one way or another taken from me. And not necessarily in vindictive ways or bad ways. I shut my business down about a year and a half ago after I got saved, because I realized I wasn't living an identity how I should, how biblically I was being told to. And so I wanted to be done with that. And that for me is the big difference that I can tell when I read the scriptures. People want to talk about assurance of salvation, but ultimately it's a change in your heart. And it's one that you couldn't have done of yourself. And a matter of fact, a lot of the times you don't necessarily like the change that has been done, because being your old self is a lot more convenient than being this new creation that God makes you. I think that's about as abridged as I can get.
I might add, guys, because he left it out, before being a small business owner, Jacob is a Navy veteran and had a career in the Navy. And so we appreciate that. So he's part of the contribution that we can continue to gather and celebrate the birth and the resurrection of Jesus.
Amen. Yeah, I was a submarine officer, so I could explain nuclear power to you, or nuclear weapons if you want. And then I went and worked for a federal agency for a while doing, I was an inspector at nuclear power plants back when Nebraska, well, we still have one, we just don't have two anymore. Before I bought a meat packing plant, yeah.
So, Luke, we have but 1 minute before I'm going to cut you off, but I want to make sure you have an ample opportunity to weigh in here.
Well, I guess I come from more when I came out, with reading the Bible, the reasons that I did, I guess. And, a lot of it has to do with the word, with the law itself, too, and explaining it and understanding that and seeing how it comes and plays out into what Jesus did when he was here. So that, and that's a lot to talk about in less than a minute, but
Yeah.
So I
But hey, everybody has to set the table before we can dine. And Luke Tibor has just done that. Jacob Wingbach, Pastor Jeff Weiss, Trent Lewis, Luke Tibor. We'll be back with more Wing and a Prayer. Week two, more after this.
and evils come, the body grows weak, the spirit grows numb.
Trent Luce here from my friend Greg Hager. Do you know why he has been named the Entertainer of the Year? It's because he writes his own stuff. It's because what he writes and performs and entertains will touch you in a way like very few songwriters can touch you. His country, his Christian roots come to life. Visit greghager.com for tour dates, merchandise, and book the show yourself. Use the code GREG24 for a discount. greghager.com.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above.
A sign from above.
Welcome back, Wing and a Prayer. Luke Tibor, what did we just do during the break? We broke the
Wash
rules.
Your hands.
We broke the rules. We talked about the topic during the break. You're asking questions. Pa
Oh, I
Pastor
don't think.
Jeff is making assumptions. And Jacob's just sitting there trying to deflect anything because he knows we're wasting good stuff.
Well, I didn't think we were going
Let me
to.
respond to Luke, if you don't mind.
I don't
He made
mind.
a comment about the law. That's what brought him to studying the Bible. I looked into it because my life and my own power, and keep in mind, I was the smartest guy I knew. So I had nobody to ask for help for, of course. But no, you look around and it's like, well, what is going on with my life? I've tried to live a good life. I really think I'm a really decent person. I don't treat people horribly. I try to make good decisions. Why aren't things working out? I'm a good dad. I don't, all the things. And then you realize, and that Bible opens up your eyes to the truth. And until you have that truth, it's just like it's a completely different thing. And yes, the law is part of that story 100%. And understanding that Christ came and fulfilled that law, as was his destiny foretold in the Old Testament, is so impressive and powering. But yes, absolutely, the law is a great part of the journey. I was just speaking to what was going on in my life. If I didn't know anything about the Bible, as a matter of fact, it infuriated me. It infuriated me that there was 50 different ones or 200 different ones. And I went to the bookstore and I'm like, okay, I want to read a Bible. And he's like, well, here's a wall. And I'm like, well, I think I mentioned that I have done engineering work. So I like specifics. I like details. And I, wading through that whole thing took like a year almost to figure out, okay, what's a Bible to read? Why? And that kind of stuff was just maddening. But no, I understand what you're saying about the law. Because it's kind of our earliest version of what the law is.
Well,
Well, and it
Luke,
was a covenant made,
yeah.
with Israel. And you were talking earlier about being grafted in, the Gentiles being grafted into Israel. That's what it is, So it starts at Sinai and it goes all the way to the Messiah. Even before, you could say, with Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice, and God will provide a sacrifice. Well, he did, and probably on the exact same spot that Abraham and Isaac were too. If you want to go back, it talks about that with David buying the threshing floor in the Old Testament as well. So I mean, it's very important. I think it gets overlooked. And that's to me, that's where my awakening came from. So that's why I always like talk about it and try to, you know, like, hey, this is important too, you know what I mean? And like everybody kind of with their own like salvation story, which is good. I mean, we're all brothers, right? And that's what, you know what I mean? That there's no stronger bond between a man than being brothers in Jesus or being brothers and sisters in God, right? That's mm-hmm. the strongest bond that we can have in an interpersonal relationship, because then I know I can trust you fully because you worry about the same thing I do, and that's get thrown in the fire.
Well, there's actually terms that the Bible gives us in the New Testament to call each other. And please, Brother Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong here, but you know, if you're a saved man washed in the blood, you believe the gospel of God, you're a saint.
You know, that's so important that you bring up, Jacob, because the you know, for me, if I go visit a church and the pastor walks up and says, "Well, welcome, I'm a sinner, you're a sinner," I'm leaving. Because I think that's one of the things that enemy tries to do is, even though we're saved by the blood, sure, we're a saint now that can choose to sin. But that life of sin has died. We have been Amen. Covered by that blood. We are a new creation, right?
Absolutely.
And so by then, it really comes to us. And I wanted to say a little bit about what Luke's saying, because I've studied the law. I have, like I said, people that teach me Hebrew. I know 4 words, which has taken 12 years. So I'm proud of that. But no, but what I'm saying, here's the problem with that. And Luke already hit it on the head. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. I can spend the rest of the show giving you scriptures as to why that's true, right? But the problem with the law is there are those who would have you believe that even though you are saved through salvation, that you also must keep the law. In other words, there are people who don't just say that, hey, the law is important to understand who you are in Christ. They'll go as far as saying that if you don't keep the feast, right, if you don't worship, have the Sabbath on Saturday, that you're a lawless sinner. Well, that's what builds the wall, right? And that's what makes people say, well, they're looking down on us, or they're this or they're that, where when, look, if we can agree that we have different perspectives, yet that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ, and there is nobody. In fact, most people that I have met, 99% that are pure into the tourism movement, are not even part of the Sinai agreement. They're not Jewish. So they were never under the law, right? But yet there are many things we can learn from that. But the thing we want to produce is peace, right, Jacob? We want peace as we move together, right? In Romans 14, 19, it says, "So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual understanding," right? And there's so many things that, you know, the law is gone. It is vanished now. But that doesn't mean that we forget it, right? Because of what we're talking about, we're grafted in. Romans 14, 17. "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Right? And that's where I think you and I tend to tie who I was. The enemy was defeated by what? The blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. It's indisputable.
Jeff, I feel like at many levels, there's a couple layers here, and there may be a few layers, like me included, that are still trying to catch up with where Luke was at with Jesus and the law and the Hebrew, the whole ball of wax. I mean, we're told to follow the laws of the land, but not all laws are righteous either. And so I don't know how to even get back to the elementary part to know where do we start.
It's the cross.
Well, you know, when the term the law is spoken of, I guess it's another reason I love the Bible is the same reason I love the Constitution and I love dictionaries. It's because words mean things. And what you have to do is you got to go look words up. And one of the thing with the Bible is a phrase people like to use is that scripture interprets scripture or scripture defines scripture. And a lot of the times what a word will mean outside of looking it up is it's evident by reading what follows or what preceded that word in the Bible. But when they talk about the law and open discussion here, but my understanding of it is it's the Old Testament law, Moses is the Ten Commandments, in addition to, I think it's 613 Jewish traditions that they kept. All of that was what was considered the law as far as religious spiritual law, not necessarily man-made laws. Our country did start out that way, that our man-made laws were in accordance with God's laws, but we've obviously veered way far from that.
Luke, did you want to expand upon what I asked too?
Well, I mean, I don't want to be like a disagreeing, like, you know, type. I'm not being judgy or I'm not, you know, I mean, I'm trying to explain where my journey came from, because like some people were lost. They never found Jesus. Like I was raised Catholic. I always believed in it. I always believed in Jesus. I always believed in God, you know, and one of the things that stuck out to me, we have the book of Revelation, right? That book is written to us now, right? Okay. And in 18:4, you know, just the one line here. And I heard another from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and receive of her plagues. It's being called out of Babylon, as it would be if you read the rest of it. But so what's Babylon? What are we being called out of? You know, I mean, that's where I started my journey. You go back, you see the, like the beast with the 10 heads and the 10 horns and all that, right? Does that appear anywhere else before in the Bible? Well, it appears in Daniel, right? When he has the succession of nations. So if we know who that beast is from Daniel, then we should know who it is in Revelation, because it's the same beast. So it gives you some clues and it tells you what's going to happen, instead of reading Revelation and not knowing what it's talking about. Mm-hmm. Because it even says even the elect would be deceived. Mm-hmm. And we might like to think we're the elect, but there's elect and then there's elect, you know, and so we know we've all sinned. We all have things that we need to be covered in the blood by.
See, I think, and where I was coming from and why I wanted the clarity, is because when I think of the Bible, I think of the commandments and I think of things that we shall and shall not do. And I, when people hear the law, in my mind, they automatically go to the man-made laws, which we can make a pretty good case and have a big discussion about the Illuminati involved in the man-made laws of today. Well, and how all of that, but we have the new covenant, which gave us a whole new set of rules in which we drink the blood representing that of Christ.
And I, and see, and I, that's where I've learned that it wasn't a new covenant, but a renewed covenant, and that the blood was the sacrifice for the sin at Sinai, which probably you could even go back and say the sin of Adam, right?
Yeah.
Something that had to be paid for.
Once again, I'm telling Luke he's got to pipe down because we're halfway through on a wing and a prayer. Trent Luce, Pastor Jeff Weiss, Luke Tibor, and Jacob Wingbach joining us today. We're back with more after this.
When these things beset us, he doesn't forget us. He sends out his love on the wings of a dove.
There is way better renewable energy sources out there than, you know, this wind and solar taking up productive farmland, because they're after the productive farmland. They're not after the poor quality land that, you know, we don't want to farm. They're after the productive cropland. And why are they attacking that productive farmland, the high quality farmland? And the population will starve if we're not producing enough food to feed the population.
On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above.
Back, wing and a prayer. Trent Lewis, Pastor Jeff Weiss, Luke Tibor, Jacob Wingbach joining us today. And I think we were on a good path, but I actually came with something I wanted to talk about today because it's ripped from the headlines. We have department governors declaring a state of emergency for something that is going to happen, and yet they did it a week ago. Why would a governor of any state, now we have multiple governors, declaring states of emergency for a solar eclipse? And there are many things that we could go down this path, but one of the first things that was brought to my attention is that this solar eclipse actually encompasses seven Ninevehs in seven different states. I did go follow that solar eclipse, and that's a bit of a stretch. First of all, there's only six, not seven. I'm not sure we want to talk about number six, but the Nineveh and Jonah story is quite interesting. What I find most interesting, Pastor Jeff, and I want to turn it to you, is that the solar eclipse is supposed to average about 3 minutes of darkness in every place it covers, except Eagle Pass, Texas, where we have most of the illegals crossing. It's black for 4.5 minutes on Monday, tomorrow, April.
Okay, so I'd like to go with this is just to get some facts on the table about where we're at. The reason that this is the first time that you have heard governments and civil authorities call for us to prepare ourselves. It's like, what? You know, it's like, preparing for a rain shower or something, right? Well, it's going to eclipse, so just stay in
bed. It's 3 minutes.
I'm not prepared. I'm not going outside. Okay, there's what we call the path of totality in solar eclipse, right? And I'm going to give you the quick version. There's only two Ninevehs directly in this path.
All right.
But Jonah, Texas is also in that path. All right. And this area where the X makes in Carbondale, Illinois, which I'm sure you've been there many times, Trent, is called Little Egypt. Because back in the day, the Cahokia Indians were there, and they actually, you know more about this than me, but they had pyramids and stuff, right?
Correct.
You with me? Okay.
And Carbondale, Illinois is right over the heart of this whole solar eclipse.
And it's also over the new
Madrid
fault line.
Correct.
Right? Okay. Yep. So this path is going to cover seven states, right?
And Nova Scotia.
Interesting. There's a city called Magog in this path as well. Anyway, the Ninevehs, one's in Indiana, one's in Ohio. But this is all goes way, way back. And what I wanted to talk about is in 763 BC, on June 15th, there was a solar eclipse. Okay. And this also fits into the life of Jonah, right? And the people watched the weather, right? God spoke through the weather, right? He spoke through the stars. That's how the people received. So this solar eclipse, what it meant to those people in Nineveh was that the king is going to be departed and killed, and a worthless fellow will seize the throne, and then rain from heaven will flood the land, and the city walls will be destroyed. Okay? Now, at the end of that time, Israel was destroyed. And what we're talking about here is a cycle of judgment, right? And so what I believe all the paranoia is coming from is, I mean, and I'll throw a couple little crazy things out because we like to do this. In 759, 4 years before this solar eclipse in 763 BC, there was a plague. It wasn't called COVID, but there was a plague 4 years earlier.
Was it a foul plague?
It was a fair plague. Okay. And then
I'm sorry, Jeff. The reason I said was it a foul plague is because it's on my mind. The avian influenza high pathogen was called foul plague before it became high pathogen avian influenza. That's why I asked. Go ahead.
So I'm just saying that there are these things that will make people really get all ginned up. One, okay, so the Israel was destroyed at the end of the 19 kings' reign. Those 19 kings' reign totals 248 years. If you add 248 years to 1776, was when our original 13 colonies declared ourselves a sovereign land.
I got that math.
2024.
Mm-hmm.
From the there was 40 days. It says in Amos 8:10 that it's 40 days between the destruction of Israel, right? And let's see, I have my notes. Anyway, the reference to today is April 8th to the beginning day of Passover is exactly 40 days. So I don't think even the people that I've researched are saying something's going to happen. They're just saying, man, oh, man, is it cool to love the Bible? Because for those people that don't think the Bible is full of awesome stuff, you know, you just got to fall in love with it because I can't go anymore. But I've got page after page after page of more things that help us realize it's time to wake up, oh sleeper, and rise from the dead. Amen.
Luke, you got any Nineveh stories you'd like to share? Not that I thought you were there, but...
I don't really know, you know what I mean, as far as America and prophecies and these things, you know, I don't really know what relevance it has. There's certain things that it says are going to happen, you know, and those are all based around Jerusalem, you know, in the time. So, I mean, it, very well, something could happen. I mean, if you're familiar with the 2000 year of the Gentile prophecy that there is, because when Jesus was going around, he went to Capernaum, and that's the only place that he actually said he was the Messiah at, right? To the woman at the well, he stayed there for 2 days. So there's 1,000 days is to the Lord, like one day in the prophecy thing. So the 2000 years of the Gentiles to be fulfilled, because blindness has, and this is prophecy, blindness has been partially put on Israel. But they will like realize what they've done, because they'll be provoked to jealousy by the Gentiles. That's prophecy. You know what I mean? Like those times I think we're living in now, you know, a solar eclipse, because yeah, he put the sun and the moon, the stars for times and seasons. The moon tells the months, you know, from the new moon to the first sighting of the first sliver is the beginning of the next month. That's when the Feast of Trumpets is in the seventh month, when the rapture happens, you know. So, I mean, these things aren't, that's why, like I said, and when you say the law, we were saying in the break, like when I say the law, I don't mean the man-made laws, because that's what the Messiah rallied against a lot with the Pharisees, a lot, you know, but the law is the Torah. That's the law. And in several times, like we were talking last week about how translation matters. When you read lawlessness, when you see in the red letters, lawlessness, well, let's, you know, we can look up, we don't have to do it today, but let's look and what does Jesus mean when he says lawlessness? Like, this is important to know. We're supposed to follow and obey and listen to the Messiah. And he said he'd bring a division between, you know, son and father, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be a division. So there's a tough road ahead, and to follow the Messiah like the apostles did, right? Follow me. Okay. They just left what they were doing. They two brothers left their dad out in the boat fishing, just to tend the nets themselves. They just left and followed him. You know, that's part of this story too, is, you know, are we going to follow him, or are we going to follow the traditions that we've made for ourselves?
Jacob?
Man, yeah, I was just looking at the scripture. I think that's Luke 13 about how the houses will be divided. That's really good scripture. You know, I just wonder where the body of Christ is. When I got into the Bible, I looked at and found those words, body of Christ. And it seems, you know, if you're a saint in the body of Christ today, we're supposed to be standing up, professing, similar to what Luke's talking about. But as far as the eclipse stuff, you know, all you have to do is look around in the country today and see that things are upside down, and we live in an evil, evil world. You know, you look at 9/11, you look at the COVID garbage that we went through, our food system, our medical system. My oldest son's autistic. I mean, no one's going to tell me that this stuff is real. No one's going to, it's going to tell me that it's not real and tell me that it's not intentional. And when you read the Bible about the signs of the times, I mean, all those things we're experiencing, we just call them reality because it's what we've always done. And again, until you peel that Band-Aid off that thick, thick scab of sin you have, I don't think you can get to the truth until you do that.
Well, guys, I got to tell you that I taught all three of our daughters at an early age where the North Star was. I taught them east, north, west, south. I never used GPS. I have one radio show that I close every day by saying without the use of GPS technology, because I believe that God gave us all of these signs. And I got this from my grandfather and my father. God gave us all of these signs of nature to communicate with us. And we have isolated ourselves from those communication tools that God gave us. And at some point in time, there will be a correction if you're too far from his creation. And that's why we remain committed to where the North Star is actually at. We'll take a break. It's a wing and a prayer. We'll be back with the last segment that quickly after this.
When Noah had drifted on the flood many days, he searched for land in various ways.
And still today, Lynn, the best mental therapy anyone can ask for is go into a round corral with a horse and develop that relationship, develop that communication that's not verbal. It's just you and that beast and learning to communicate. And that's what your whole culture and history is about, is horse people.
Yeah, and I think that's really a big part of what we're doing here. It's crazy that, you know, back in the day, we already knew what we were doing. As long as you came out to Hell's Half, there was always a bronc ready for you to ride. They'd probably put you to work, but you'd be ready to ride, and you'd find a home, and you'd find friends.
He sends his pure, sweet love. A sign from above.
Why look like I follow rules, Trent?
Wing of prayer. This is a tough road to hold. I thought Andrew Henderson on every weekday morning was bad, holding him in check. This motley crew, I can't keep them focused. We don't talk about the topic during the break. Jacob Wingbach, you're breaking rules. These are Trent rules, by the way. What were you saying?
Well, I was just bringing up. You know, let me find. You guys go ahead and let me find it here. Yep. I want to find it and read it. Skip me.
Matter of fact, I don't think.
Wait a minute! You're the one that brought it up during the break. You were the one that just couldn't wait to share when we came back.
Well, there's scripture and I'm pretty sure it's in Luke. I don't remember if it's
Matthew 10:34 says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Is this you? Is this what you want?
No, but that's also
I've just said, man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life will find it for my sake.
Boy, I tell you what, there's a lot right there. Yeah, boy, what I was saying over the break was, is that I could never understand as a youngster, being raised Catholic, how I could love something more than my parents or more than, you know, and then as an adult, how I could love my children, how I could love something more than my children. And then, you know, as Jeff was speaking, after understanding and accepting salvation, accepting God's grace through the faith in Jesus's blood, do you understand that? Because you understand what you've been delivered from. Like, if you don't understand that you have a soul that's going to be eternal, and that this blip on earth here and all everything you cry about, everything you're happy about, it is nothing compared to what comes next. And until we understand that, will we not have the power to say no here on earth?
Amen. And I'm going to quote Decision Magazine from many years ago that stuck in my head, that talking about faith, boldness without brokenness makes you a bully. In other words, if you are not speaking from a position involving Christ, I've been there, I was at the bottom, he rescued me, he made me who I am, and now I am solely him, I am who I am solely because of him, then you're in that state I was, where I was lukewarm. No offense, Luke, that's not your name, but I was lukewarm, right? I thought I was all that in a bag of chips, and that scripture tells me that I was blind, right, naked, and had nothing. And that's what you're saying, is that we found out, oh my gosh, Romans 12:2 is real. We got to renew our mind completely, man. Everything I thought was wrong, right?
So while there are, you know, crazy and horrible things going on in our country, you know, a lot of them are unimportant compared to what truly is important. And if we just focused on what was truly important, the worker bees of this country wouldn't become the slaves of men. And God told us clearly not to become the slaves of men.
Well, what is the most important thing?
Geez, if I was going to say the most important thing is finding your salvation, it's working your salvation out with fear and trembling.
Well, but isn't Matthew 28, 19 and 20 the most important thing? I mean, in my life is who I was, who I am, and who I met in the middle, and go tell somebody else about it. You know, that
after you're saved, absolutely.
Ultimately is our goal. And I say that to profoundly love people to where you can love your enemy, right? And love people you don't even know. Mm-hmm. You have to develop this profound love for God and have surrendered yourself completely is the only way. Because in my power, I don't even like the person I think went ahead of me in the four-way stall.
Absolutely. Well, guys, I can get my mind around that, actually, Jeff, easier than I can. And I have to break everything down to very simple terms. And when I was last week, I mentioned that the Sunday school lesson that just stuck with me was, it's easier for the camel to pass through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter heaven. And the other one was what we just talked about, which to me is a lot tougher than loving the enemy. And that is that when you're told you have to leave everything you love and follow me. And when you think about it, you have to leave your children and your spouse and your parents and everybody else, but you're told to do that. That's a lot tougher concept for me to grasp than loving my enemy.
And that's because you don't, you know, we don't, you do. But what Jacob alluded to a minute ago is we don't know our identity. Okay. In Genesis 2:7, it lets you know I'm a spirit. I'm a spirit with a soul. Now I'm going to park you in this body for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But you're eternal.
Yeah, absolutely. Right?
So how you love the Lord and you're surrendered to him more than you love your family is, you know, you all are eternally together. You're not, this death is only a pass through to you.
That's spot on.
Right?
And Jeff's talking. That's what it is. Jeff's talking meat. The Bible talks about milk and meat, and that's definitely a meat concept. the idea that you have a soul, that you have a body. I mean, your body has a purpose here. It contains your sin. That's why you don't take it with you.
That's why you die to that sucker.
In the ground, you get a new corruptible body. Jesus was the example of that. Once these things start clicking, man, your world just, it blows your stinking mind. It's like, wow. One more thing real quick. You are told to love your enemy, but you are not told to like that person. You are not told to commune with that
person. Thank you for that, Jacob. I needed that.
You are not told to commune with that person. You were told to be set apart from that person. That is the truth, but you are to help them if they need it.
Absolutely. So there is because of one reason that God wishes for no one to perish. Right?
That's what I was thinking too, right to Jonah, right? That's the whole point. Jonah gets swallowed by a fish because he doesn't want to go to Nineveh because they hate Nineveh. Finally, he goes, it's like, hey, stop it. Because a prophet isn't somebody that tells the future. He tells you, hey, thus says the Lord, you're messing this up. Knock it off or else things are going to happen. And the people of Nineveh were like, oh, okay, yeah, we stop. And then they discouraged Jonah. And then that's exactly what
God told them. 40 days, though, didn't it, Luke? I mean, they didn't do it the next day.
Well, that's how
it rained and flooded them out.
They didn't have the Pony Express.
You know what got his audience open? Potentially, there was a solar eclipse right before he came.
Well, yeah, and he was laying outside on his side, and the weird things that the prophets did to get people's attention that seemed totally crazy to us now, but you got to think about it in a different context.
So is America ready for judgment?
Jeff, did you just tell us that the solar eclipse is going to bring the next Jesus revolution? Is that what you told us?
No.
Actually, the Bible says that the next Jesus revolution that's coming is going to be a bad one, not a good one. Not a good one.
Tell us more, Jacob.
No, I'm going to leave that one there. That gets too heavy. Jeff can get into that.
Well, we do only have a few minutes.
The great news here is that there's a remnant that's going to rise up, and it is going to be through these types of conversations that we have, getting these things out on the table. And for you out there in the audience watching this show, what we want you to take from this is nuggets that you can take to your kitchen table, that you can begin to talk to your children and your grandchildren about, particularly this concept that when you say Christ is my Savior, take him on as your Lord too. Because those are two different things, and we can talk about that later. But when Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're living for that eternity, not for this, you know, 60, 70, 80 years on earth.
Jacob.
Satan believes in God too.
Jacob, we have 2 minutes. You're our guest today. I'd like you to have your say for us as we leave here on this Eclipse Eve, Solar Eclipse Eve.
Eclipse Eve. Well, I just say to paradigm what Jeff said, Satan believes in God too. So it's not just believing in God. Satan knows the whole gospel. Satan's not getting saved. We have the opportunity to get saved. And when, you know, to talk about the evangelizing, the Bible calls every saved person to be a preacher. You don't have to be a pastor. Those words are different, but you are told to preach the word of God. And ideally, if you're saved, then you won't be ashamed. 2 Timothy 2:15, look that one up. It's a King James version. It says, study, show yourself approved, rightly dividing, so you will not be ashamed to preach the word of God. The other thing I want to say is when Christ sent the apostles out, he didn't tell them to be a beat up dummy at these places. He says, if they don't accept you, dust your shoes off.
That's it. Ode.
Jacob, I'm really glad you shared that because I believe as our goal is to inspire more Bible studies to spring up in the community and in the family all across this country. I truly believe the limiting factor and why people would be reluctant to do that is that they're afraid they're going to sit down with a neighbor and not be as well-versed in the Bible as their neighbor is, and then they will be thought poorly of. And so the fact that you brought that verse to us, I think is quite fitting. Luke, we have 45 seconds.
All right. Well, for one, like you said, that even the neighbors talking about it, you know, we're all neighbors in a sense. And I think also by watching this, there might be discourse and there might be disagreements on things, but we'll do it appropriately. Right, and have an open discussion and maybe change minds or whatever. But read Revelation 21. That's the promise. That's what we're all working for. When you want, after you're done watching this, Revelation 21. You can just read it through the rest of the way. And that's the promise that we're looking for, that we're working for by following. That's the promise that we get.
That's Luke Tibor on behalf of Pastor Jeff Weiss. Jacob Wingbach. I'm Trent Luce. A wing and a prayer. Have a prayerful, blessed week, and we'll see you next weekend.
Troubles he had some.